John 8:3-5, 7, 9-11. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Verse number 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Now underline, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." Right here, this statement, "Go and sin no more." This is how we maintain deliverance. Go and sin no more. This is how we maintain. After a demon is expelled or demons expelled are cast out, go and sin no more. Why? Because if you sin, you'll open a door for the demons to come back. Because you know, the demon or demon that were cast out is going to come back. They are going to come back. But when they come, when it comes back or when they come back, there will be more in number and power. It's not just seven more. It's seven more in number and power. And it says, your last condition will be worse than the first one. Your last condition. If the demon brought headache, this time it'll bring migraine. It'll be worse than the first. Why? Because you went and you opened yourself up. Go and sin no more. One of the key reasons why people are delivered over and over again is this one. One of the reasons why people are delivered over and over and over and over and over and over again. If it's the right deliverance, if it's the right deliverance and the people are being delivered, the same people are delivered over and over again, it's because they open the door. They open the door wide. They don't know how to close it. They go back to sin. They go back to their wrong lifestyle. They go back to wrong things. See? Satan will always, he knows how he comes in. He will always come and tempt. Why is he tempting? So that we open the way for him to come in again. Can you see that? Go and sin no more. That's how we maintain deliverance. Go and sin no more. When we seek for deliverance, or when we are ready for deliverance, we must be determined to live for God. When we seek for deliverance, or when we are ready for deliverance, we must be determined to live for God, to live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, maintenance of deliverance is personal. It's personal responsibility. It's my personal responsibility. Now that I've been set free, now that I've been delivered. And by the way, deliverance has got results. But the deliverance that is fun and games has got no results. You are delivered, but you remain the same. The same circumstances, the same experiences. Things remain exactly the same. That's the deliverance that is fun and games. But true deliverance, there will be change. There will be change. Hallelujah. We must be determined to live a life. So there's a thing here. If a person is not ready to be delivered, to deliver them when they are not ready to live right or to maintain their deliverance is actually to endanger them. It's to endanger them, it's to put them in danger. When Jesus forgave the woman who was caught in adultery in the very act, when the Lord forgave her, she was totally delivered from the spirit, one of the spirits, we cannot think of others because the Bible doesn't tell us, but one of the spirits in this case is the spirit of prostitution. When she was forgiven of the Lord, she was delivered from that spirit. That is why the Lord says, go and sin no more. Because if you sin again, this demon is going to come back with vengeance this time. And it will bring others, more in number, more in power. See that? And your condition will be worse off. So that is love. You see, Jesus is love. He says, go and sin no more. That's love. Because what I've just done for you, if you don't walk right, if you continue reading, he says, I'm the light. If you don't continue living in the light, then darkness will come for you and will overcome you. And your last state will be worse than the first. Much, much, much worse than the first. James chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Adulterers and adulteresses. That's unfaithful. That's, he's using metaphor again. These are spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. Spiritual, not physical. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What is he saying? Unfaithfulness to God is faithfulness to Satan. Unfaithfulness to God is faithfulness to the devil. When we become, rather, you cannot cheat on God with the world and remain loyal to him. None of us can. That's why it says adulterers and adulteresses. We cannot cheat on God with the world. How do we maintain our deliverance? By staying out of the world, by keeping clear from the world, by not going back to the world. Otherwise, he calls us adulterers, adulterers, and adulteresses. That is unfaithfulness. When we're unfaithful to God, we are faithful to the devil. Disloyalty to God is loyalty to Satan. Now, whether we are aware of it or not, it does not matter. Going back to the world, that's faithfulness to Satan. That's loyalty to the devil. And that's enmity with God. Enmity. We take ourselves out of the covering of God when we go back to the world. And it's dangerous for our freedom. It's dangerous for our salvation. Because our safety, our protection, our security is in our salvation, is in our freedom, is in our liberty. But the devil will always come against our liberty, will always come against our freedom. Right? Where do demons live? They prefer human bodies. Why? They don't have bodies of their own. They don't have bodies of their own. And all these demons are demons of something. There's no neutral demon. We look just now, it was a demon of lust. But the demon of lust, it cannot perform. I mean, demon of sexual lust, demon of prostitution. That demon cannot perform except through a human body. It's a mandate. Remember, it's a kingdom of the devil. Demons are in Satan's kingdom, right? And they have mandate. They have purpose. There are instructions, there are commands. Go and make people to fornicate. Go and make people to be prostitutes. Now, it's a mandate. And if this demon does not do what it's been told to do, it is punished. It is punished. That's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. Kingdom of the devil, we are not asked, we are told. And we are forced. We are forced. In the kingdom of God, God won't force you to do anything. But not so in the kingdom of the devil. So this demon will have to make sure that it has to find a human body to destroy. And through that one human body, it destroys other humans. That's how it is. That's where we come to deliverance, casting the devils out, which came from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who did this, the grace and the love of God for us. Glory to God. I say glory to God. How do we maintain our deliverance? Don't go back to the world. We mustn't go back to the world. We mustn't go back to the things that we used to do when we're in the world. The wrong things, that is. That's what the Bible says. Let he who stole before, let him steal no more. Let the one who was a liar before, let them not tell lies anymore. That's what the Bible says. Let us not do the wrong things we used to do before. Why? Because we did these things under, we were in the kingdom of Satan. We did these things under demonic, satanic power. Satanic, demonic power. It says don't. Don't go back into the world again. Don't go to doing these things again. Don't be a fraudster again. Don't commit fraud again. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Take yourself out of corruption. Take yourself out of these things. People are not aware that because of their lies, that's why they were sick. Because the one demon opens for the rest of the demons. Because of gossip, the person who had a demon of gossip, the same person had miscarriages. But it was the demon of gossip that opened for the demons of miscarriage. So, but a person cannot, you know, join the two together. It's the same spirit. The demon of nicotine that makes people chain smokers, could be the same spirit that opens the door for the spirit of divorce. Now, this person is divorced, but cannot tie the two together, cannot tie the divorce to the nicotine problem. You see that? One demon, when it's there, it opens the door for other demons to come in. Opens the door. Demon of sexual lust, when we indulge in these things, you notice the demon of poverty comes in. The demon of lack comes in. The demon of debt comes in. Now, you cannot tie your debts, the debt issue, to the sexual lust issue. But that spirit of sexual lust, and when we indulge it, makes way for the demon of poverty, makes way for the demon of lack, makes way for the demon of debt, D-E-B-T, debt. And you will not tie in the two, that my debts are because of my porn addiction. But your debts could very well be because of your porn addiction and you're not even aware of it. Your heart issue, having heart problem, could be because the one chief demon here is the porn addiction that has opened the door for the demon of sickness and disease. Now you have a heart problem, but you don't understand if that demon of pornography can be dealt with. Children failing at school, praying for them, still failing at school, it could be because of the demon they're entertaining. The demon they're entertaining. It's a serious issue. Deliverance is not fun and games. Deliverance is not fun and games. It's a serious issue. Deliverance is not fun and games. Hallelujah. When things are not working in an area of our life, it could be there's an opening somewhere, and the one who's operating in that area is not the chief who opened the door. It's not the chief who opened the door. The chief is just doing other things there. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the Message Bible, James 4:4, it says, you are cheating on God if all you want is your own way. If you still want your own way, you are not ready for deliverance. If you still want your own way, you still want to live your own way, you're not ready for deliverance. This deliverance en masse, to an extent, is very irresponsible. This deliverance en masse, everybody, deliverance, corporate deliverance, to an extent, I'm not saying wholly, I'm not saying entirely, but to an extent, it can be very irresponsible. Because by delivering the person, you could be exposing them to even greater danger. By delivering this person who's not ready for deliverance, could be exposing them to even a greater danger. Tell a neighbor, say, unmasking the devil and his activities. Acts chapter number 19. You could be busy this side in adultery with a married man, but you notice they come to repossess your house. But you will not tie the two together. I'm busy with someone's husband. Now the guy is gone, or the house is gone. Is the person's husband you're busy? And if you have got no covering of God, it could even go to your children. Now a child is sick, an innocent child, because of the parents. If these people are not under God's covering, see? Why things are not working? It's not God. God does not fight us. God is not against us. No. But there is a thief. Sean was leading prayer. When does a thief come? In the night. He's a serpent. He's a scorpion. He's a serpent. It doesn't come in the clear, in the open. It comes in hiding. There is a thief. And Satan causes us, he turns us against God. Because we say to God, if I'm your child, why the debts? If I'm your child, why the sickness? If I'm your child, why this, why that? The devil turns us against God. We attribute to God things that ought to be attributed to the devil. God is not against his people. If God was against God, the kingdom of God would not stand. That's why he says, he came through Christ to reconcile the world. Notice the world, didn't say the church, not imputing the sins of the world against them. You see, that's the kingdom of God. He didn't say the church. He said sinners. He did not come to impute their sins to them. He says he has come to reconcile them back to God. That's the kingdom of God. So God divided, God cannot stand. The kingdom of God divided cannot stand. So God does not fight his people, Christians. All these negativities we go through has got nothing to do with God. God does not fight God. God is not divided against God. Otherwise, his kingdom would not stand. Let's leave God out of it. It's ours to delve deeper, to see our problems, our issues, to see them beyond the surface. Because now we are so surface, we are looking at the surface. No, there's something deeper. Just one layer, you don't even need to go deep. Just one layer beyond the surface. Just one layer beyond the obvious, you'll find the cause. You'll find the enemy. You'll find the thief. You'll find what is going on. Acts 19, 18 and 20, or rather to 20. He says, and many who had believed, and many who? So these were believers. Many who had believed, they came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. That's about a lot of hundreds, millions of dollars in today's exchange rate. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Right? They turned their backs on the world. These, when they believed, they turned their backs on the world. They left the world. That's how it should be. When we believe, we leave the world. We that are believers, we must leave the world and the things of the world. We must leave the world and everything, John says, that is in the world. And everything that is in the world is not from God. We must turn, seriously turn our backs on the world if we are to preserve, to keep, to enjoy the liberty, the freedom in Christ, and so that the devil does not destroy. In verse number 20 in the TPT, it says, the power of God caused the word to spread and the people were greatly impacted. Why? Because of the right response. The right response. The power of God caused the word to spread. The word of God spread. And the people were greatly impacted because these believers had the right response. They left the world and exposed the world. Can you see that? Not only did they just leave the world and destroy the things of the world, the books of magic and all of these things, but they exposed the world. The Bible says, and many who had believed, they came confessing and telling their deeds. They were exposing the world. And not only that, but it says, also, many of those who had practiced magic, they brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all in public. They exposed darkness. As a result, the word of God grew and multiplied. Why are we not growing? We are secretive with our Christianity. The word that is in us, the word of God that is in us, it cannot impact the world because we are secret Christians. Our response is wrong. Our response is wrong. The word of God grew and multiplied. Why? Because of the response of these believers. We are still hiding the things of darkness. And although we are Christians, see, that's only counterproductive. That's only counterproductive. Let's take the whole of it from the TPT. I like the TPT. It puts it even much better in clearer terms. Acts chapter number 19. Remember what I said. The word of God says the word of God grew and multiplied because of the response of these believers. They turn their backs. They left, number one, they left the world. Number two, they exposed the deeds of the world. They were exposing the deeds of the devil. They were exposing the powers of darkness. You need to be here to testify. You need to tell people how the devil used to oppress you. Used to be able to do that. But do we do that? Of course we don't do that. You don't know how many people are still in prison, in spiritual prison. How many captives are still in captivity. But we are keeping. And yet God has delivered us. He has set us free from those things. But we don't tell anybody. We need, you hear the guys making announcement. We need your testimony. You are not to keep it. Otherwise the word of God will not be able to grow and multiply. Will not be able to prevail because you are quiet. These were not quiet. It says they were telling, they were confessing to say, this is how the devil used to use me. This is how the devil used to use me in powers of darkness. We need to be able to come here and say, this is how I was tied down to pornography. I was tied down to gambling. I was tied down to alcohol. I was tied down to chain smoking. We need to be able to tell. There are still many prisoners. They need your testimony to know that they can be set free. They need your testimony to know that it's possible. They need it. That's why he says, and the word grew and multiplied. It was because of these believers. They didn't keep quiet. But we're quiet. We're quiet. Glory to God. From number 13 in the TPT, Acts 19 from 13 says, now there were seven itinerant, I want to give the background as well. Now there were seven itinerant Jewish exorcists, sons of Sceva, the high priest. So they were going around delivering people. You see? So the Jews, they knew this issue of expelling demons. They knew it. That's why they could say to Jesus, because of their jealousy, because of their envy. They were envious of him. The Pharisees were envious of Jesus. That's why they attributed the deliverance that they were seeing to Beelzebub, to the devil. They're just envious. Now, there were seven itinerant Jewish exorcists, sons of Sceva, the high priest, who took it upon themselves. Ah, you see, that's key. They took it upon themselves. The 70 that went out, and they came back jubilant and say that demons are subject to us. They did not send themselves. On the contrary, the sons of Sceva, they sent themselves. They took it upon themselves. Who took it upon themselves to use the name and authority of Jesus over those who were demonized. Underline, that is key. That word demonized. Demonized. Christians can be demonized. Christians can never, ever be possessed by demons. Ever. Underline the word possessed. But they can be demonized, but never possessed. Why? Why? Because Christians belong to God. Christians are God's property. But demons can still demonize Christians, touching different areas of their lives, but not the entire person. The person belongs to God. But because of ignorance, that's why Paul says, we are not ignorant. So demons, they demonize Christians out of ignorance. The Bible says we should not be ignorant, because when we are ignorant, Satan takes advantage of us, and demons, they demonize us. I just explained the principle right there, if you are listening. They would say, the sons of Sceva, these self-appointed exorcists and self-proclaimed, they would say, we cast you out in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches. But one day, when they said those words, the demon in the man replied. Now you're going to see here that deliverance is not fun and games. Deliverance is not entertainment. Deliverance is not gimmicks. Deliverance is not theatrics. It's not a theater. It's not a theater. It's real. One day when they said those words, the demon in the man replied, I know about Jesus and I recognize Paul. But who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Then the demonized man jumped on them and threw them to the ground. There were seven of them. Seven versus one. Can you see that? Seven sons of Sceva. Seven exorcists. Deliverance practitioners against one demon, against one man. Then the demonized man jumped on them and threw them to the ground, beating them mercilessly. Beating them mercilessly. Listen, demons may not beat you mercilessly physically if you're ignorant, but they will do in your life through different things. Out of ignorance, if we're ignorant. Now he overpowered the seven exorcists. I like the use of the word overpowered. That's kingdom word. That's kingdom. Kingdom. That's why the strong man must be overpowered to plunder him. It's a kingdom word. Armies, when they come to overpower. When they stage a coup, they come to overthrow. They come to unseat, to overthrow, to overpower in order to control. So they came under the control of a demon, the sons of Sceva. He overpowered the seven exorcists until they all ran out of the house naked and badly bruised. The demon was beating them, was seriously beating them. This was serious physical beating. Listen. The issue of deliverance and maintenance thereof is a question of a relationship with Jesus. Can you see what was the issue here? No relationship with Jesus, none whatsoever. They used the name of Jesus as a formula. The name of Jesus is not a formula, because Jesus is a person, he is a being, he is God. So the issue of deliverance and the issue of maintaining deliverance is the issue of a relationship with God. How do we maintain our deliverance? By maintaining a relationship with God. Maintaining a relationship with God. You don't want to be those people that are delivered over and over and over and over and over again. Please, you don't want to be that person. We cannot be living wrong as Christians and be using the name of Jesus. Otherwise, we are no different from the sons of Sceva, because they also use the name of Jesus as a formula. The name of Jesus is not a formula. Can't say, Satan, leave me, but I'm still busy sinning here. Satan, leave me, but I'm in his house. Satan, leave me, but I'm in his kingdom. That's all for naught. It's all for nothing. It's all for naught. You can see this. Holy Spirit gave us this account for us to see that this is not fun and games. It's not entertainment issue. This is serious. The people that we deliver, if really the demon leaves them, how are they able to maintain themselves? How are they able to maintain themselves? Because we deliver the person now. Come month end, they get paid, the money just dries up. Just dries up. Because they couldn't maintain. Because we did the deliverance to prove a point. Church's deliverance is done to prove a point that God is with us. To prove a point that the power of God is here. Can you see? All for wrong reasons. You are endangering the person being delivered. The person being delivered is seriously endangered. Serious endangered. And yet if we had the love of God, we would not do that to people. Jesus Christ loved the woman who was caught in adultery. He loved her so much that he had to warn her from danger. That was a warning of love, to warn her from danger. Go and sin no more. Do not give Satan place. Do not give Satan place. That's how we maintain our deliverance figs. Do not give Satan place. Like Sean was saying in the morning, it could be because of your unforgiveness, you are being ignorant, the demon is going to come back. After being delivered, you cannot continue with your unforgiveness. It could be bitterness. After deliverance, don't continue with bitterness. You're endangering yourself. It could be offense. After deliverance, don't continue with this offense, with this attitude. Are you seeing that, church? It could be gossip. It could be telling lies. After deliverance, do not continue. You are endangering yourself. Now you notice, since you were delivered, your life is a living nightmare. Everything just got difficult. Everything just got difficult. The deliverance, although it was meant to help you, but it exposed you. Can you see that? The deliverance, although it was meant to help you, but it opened you wider for attacks. For attacks. So let us not make entertainment out of deliverance. Let us not be so excited that we make entertainment out of deliverance. It's people's lives we are dealing with. I say it's people's lives we are dealing with. The issue, I'm repeating myself deliberately, the issue of deliverance and maintenance is a question of a relationship with Jesus. And I explain that. It's a question of a relationship with Jesus. Now let's continue. Verse number 17. All of the people in Ephesus were awestruck, both Jews and non-Jews. When they heard about what had happened, they were awestruck. When they heard about what had happened, where? To whom? Sons of Sceva. Now listen, great fear fell over the entire city, and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ was exalted. Was exalted. Satan does not and will not beat people physically like he did with the sons of Sceva, because if he did so, he would be exposing himself. He would be exposing himself. That's why he won't do it. But he comes to beat people in ways that are covert, not so overt, not so overt, but covert, hidden. Comes to beat. Because if he were to do this, he would be exposing himself. People won't mess up with him again in that way. But he wants people to mess up with him that way. Right? When you're playing with an anaconda and you think it's a baby snake, no, it's a big, fat baby snake. But it's a big adult anaconda. So no, it's a big, fat baby snake. Hello, baby. See, the devil prefers that than you to know that it's a big, fat adult anaconda. Now it says, great fear came. Great fear fell over the entire city, and the authority of the name of Jesus was exalted. Many believers publicly confess their sins, and they disclose their secrets. They disclose the secrets of darkness. Let us disclose these things. What God has delivered us from, what God has saved us from, let's expose it publicly. Publicly. Sometimes we just tell one person, which is good, but we need to tell the world. We need to tell many people. That's the whole point of deliverance. Large numbers of those who had been practicing magic took all of their books and scrolls of spells and incantations and publicly burned them. Publicly burned them. We need to take an example from this. Some of us, we've got books in our homes. Books that have nothing to do with God. These novels that we love to read. Please go and check if these novels are righteous books or not. Because these books that are sitting in our shelves at home, they are not innocent. They are not innocent. The thing that throttles you at night when you are sleeping and you've tried everything you could do, it still comes. It could be because of some of the things, some of the items in the house. They didn't do this for fun. They burned these books. They had to destroy them. Please, don't give it to a neighbor. Destroy it. Don't say, okay, no, this book is not a Christian book, so I'll give it to my non-Christian friends. You are transferring destruction. You are being used as a tool for Satan. Destroy it. Destroy it. Some of the things in our houses, we'll get there. It's a series that we are dealing with. We can't give you everything at once, right? And when the value of all the books and scrolls was calculated, I had a meeting with my beautiful Asante, and she gave me a lovely testimony of something that happened in the past in her life. How she was, unbeknownst to her, she was initiated in the kingdom of the devil by a lady who gave her awesome, awesome clothes. This is a lady who was singing in the choir at church. Gave her beautiful, awesome clothes. You see what we're talking about? This is what you see in Acts chapter 19. Burn, don't keep. These things are not innocent. Spirits are transferable like that. Transferable. You see, the pastor is using the hanky. If the pastor is not used by the Holy Spirit, you take the pastor's hanky. The power that is in that hanky, that is not from the kingdom of God, it transfers demons to you. That's how it is. Am I talking to somebody? As God permits, we'll talk in this series, if God permits. How some of us, we got demons from the church itself and from the pastor himself and from the pastor who's a female herself. Yes. We came to that church with two demons, but in that church, they multiplied. It's true. There are people who came to church, they did not have some of the problems that are caused by demons, but when they got to church, those problems started. Those problems started. There are people who did not have sexual lust, but since the pastor laid hands on them, because the pastor sleeps with his congregants, or he sleeps with people outside, it does not matter. But since the pastor prayed for those people, now those people, they've got the same problem the pastor has. We're not talking about that today. But we'll talk about it. See that? It's true. It's true. A God-loving Christian had no sexual lust problem. They didn't have it. God delivered them from that. But since they joined the church, it's the laying of the hands. The pastor says, I deliver you. The pastor is transferring what is in him to the person. See? We're not talking about that today. We'll talk about that when the Lord grants the grace as we uncover. Now it says, verse number 20, we read it already, the power of God caused the word to spread and the people were greatly impacted. They exposed, they testified. They exposed, they testified. I always say it in this church. I say the people are sitting with testimonies, a wonderful thing that God has done for them. Your testimony is of no good, no value at all if you're not sharing it with those that need to hear it. With those who? With those who need to hear it. Glory to God. How do you know you need deliverance? I said it on Friday. You have prayed, nothing happened. You fasted, nothing happened. You've been everywhere that you could be and still nothing happens. That tells you. You need the finger of God. Christ says, if I deliver, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all men is a person and his name is Jesus Christ. Now Jesus Christ teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. He teaches us to turn our backs on the world and its ungodly desires. Because like this, we are not able to maintain the grace, the liberty, the freedom. This is why, although we are born again, although we are in the kingdom of God, but we are still demonized. We have not totally and completely turned our backs on the world and its ungodly desires. That's why he says, but the grace of God, Jesus Christ, it teaches us that we must deny, we must refuse, we must reject ungodliness and worldly lusts. It's not good for us. To deny is for our own good, but not to is not good for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant. Remember he says in Titus, we must live soberly. Be sober, be vigilant. You know, those two words are powerful beyond measure when it comes to the issue of maintaining deliverance. Be sober. That's mental sobriety. Don't let your guards down. It's mental sobriety. That means the devil is going to come at the time that you least expect. It's going to come at the time that you're not so focused on these things. Now, what is it saying? Be sober at all times. That means you must be able to see temptation whenever it comes. Be sober. We must be able to see temptation whenever it comes. Sober and vigilant. Sober and vigilant. What do you do, for an example, just to jog your brain a bit, for an example, what do you do when you are all alone at night, in the middle of the night, in the wee hours of the morning, we are all alone with all the trappings of technology? What are you drawn towards? What are you inclined to do? See that? What do you do alone? When you are left alone, when you are left alone, in the night, in the middle of the night, in the wee hours of the morning, with all the trappings of technology, what are you drawn to do? What are you inclined to do? See that? Now that's why he says, I just left that hanging. I don't want to go deep because I'm not teaching about that today. Right? That's why he says, be sober. When you know what happens to you when you're alone in the night, when you know what happens to you when you're alone in the middle of the night, when you know what happens to you when you are alone in the wee hours of the morning, now he says, that's the time you need to be seriously sober and watchful, vigilant. Vigilant means watch yourself, guard yourself, be aware of your surroundings, be sober, be vigilant. You want to maintain your deliverance, this is what you need to do. Be sober. Be vigilant. When you are on the internet, when you are alone and you're on the internet, what are you inclined to do? What's the direction that you're always drawn towards? And you know it. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. The pop-ups that are wrong, that come there, those are baits of the devil. How many of them still click? And you know that. You know that it happens to you all the time. This is why he tells you, be sober, be vigilant at all times when temptation comes. Sober and vigilant at all times when temptation comes. Oh, hallelujah. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary does not sleep. Demons don't sleep. Satan does not sleep. They don't get tired. They don't get weary, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whomever he may romance. Right? He's looking for whomever he may romance. Satan just is looking for a cuddle. All right? No! For he's looking for whomever to devour, to destroy. He's not craving a cuddle. He's not craving an embrace. He's not craving for a little kiss. He craves destruction. Be sober. Let's be vigilant. We have heard this scripture many times over, but please hear it today differently. This scripture pertains to warfare. It pertains to warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Why? Because our warfare is not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Why? Because our warfare is not carnal. Satan is going to strike at the mind. He attacks the mind. He won't come with tanks. He won't come with drones. No, he attacks the mind. This is not a carnal warfare. It's not a carnal warfare. This is why I'm telling you, and I know you're hearing me. I know you're hearing me. What happens to you when you are left all to yourself in the night, when you are left all to yourself in the middle of the night, when you are left to yourself in the wee hours of the morning? What happens to you? That's warfare. That's warfare. In your corner, it does not matter the time of day, but in your corner where nobody sees you and you're surrounded by the trappings of technology, now that is warfare. That's warfare. Satan won't bring the urge to you now to watch pornography because it's in the day and there are people here. He won't do that. He will never do that. Go home and be alone. The urge comes. That's warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, because our warfare is not carnal. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Our warfare is not flesh and blood, but bodiless spirit beings. Those are enemies. Bodiless spirit beings. Some of you live in a room. When you're alone in that room, and there's your phone there, and there's your tablet there, and there's your iPad there, and there's your PC there, and there's your laptop there, whatever, what happens to you? You live alone. That's warfare. That little room of yours, that's warfare. That's the warfare where it wages right there. Yeah. Now, that's why he says, be sober. Be vigilant. Be aware. Be watchful. Be aware of your surroundings. Aware who you are with. If you're addicted to smoking a joint, drugs, or whatever you call it, and your friend who supplies, and your friend who always has, be aware when that friend is around you. Be watchful, be aware when that friend is around you. See that? That's what we're talking about. We're just giving meat to the scripture, not just to read it, because most of us, we know it, but we don't understand it. Don't understand it. Verse number 9, it says, remember, it says the devil wants to devour you. But verse number 9, it says, resist him. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. But resist him. Resist him. Not in the flesh. You cannot resist the devil in the flesh, but resist him steadfast in the faith. This is warfare. Resist the devil in spirit, steadfast in the faith. You cannot resist the devil in the flesh. I've said this many times. How many times have we said to ourselves, I will never do this again, but we find ourselves doing it over and over and over again. And every time we do it, we say to ourselves, I'll never do it again, but you find yourself doing it again. Why? You cannot resist. This is spiritual warfare. You cannot fight it in the physical. That's why he tells you, resist him steadfast in the faith. Not in the physical. You won't win in the physical. In the physical, say, Lord, I will not do it again. I will not do it again. And you find yourself doing it again. You are fighting a spiritual war in the physical. Resist him steadfast in the faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. I say they are mighty through God. Be sober, be vigilant. Kodi mama bulo. Hallelujah. But resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan always, as we have seen, that the demon goes, it will come back, and they come back with backup. Satan, he craves to bring people under bondage. He is a tyrant. He is a despot. He's an evil ruler. He's a cruel dictator. He's a control freak. Please know the devil for who he is. That's why when the demon goes, it will surely come back. Satan is a despot. You know, Africa is full of dictators. He's a tyrant. You know a tyrant. Listen, in Africa we have tyrants. They never relinquish power. That's why you find a president. He's been a president before you were born. From 1977, we have this president in this country. Now it's 2003. He's still the same president. Why? Because the devil carries power. He's exactly a tyrant, a dictator. Africa is full of those presidents. They crave power. They never let go of power. Satan is like that. That's his nature. That's why when the demon goes, it will come back. Because Satan is a dictator. He wants to rule. He's a tyrant. He's a despot. He's an evil ruler. That's why you find ruler spirits in Acts chapter 6, verse number 12. That's the nature of the devil, to rule. To rule. Hallelujah. Are we together, church? That's his nature. Whatever you've been set free from, be sober, be vigilant. Whatever you receive prayer for, be sober, be vigilant. When you receive that word of prophecy, be sober, be vigilant. When things are going well for you, be sober, be vigilant. When you're enjoying peace, be sober, be vigilant. Because the enemy you're dealing with, he never lets go. He never gives up. He's a tyrant. He's a dictator. He's a control freak. He's a control freak. It's not the enemy. Know thy enemy. Mrs. Sikhwacha, know thy enemy. Know thy enemy. Companies in the world that do well, that do exceptionally well. Companies in the world that do exceptionally well, they have an exceptional knowledge of their competitors. They study their competitors. companies in the world that do exceptionally well. They have an exceptional knowledge of their competitors. They study, they do a serious study of their competitors. That's why I'm saying, know thy enemy. Know thy enemy. Satan will always fight back to regain control. The control that when you are delivered from, you receive, the devil will always come back for it. Finally today, James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I love that guarantee. I love that assurance. Therefore submit to God, resist him, fight him. Please fight, and he will flee. He will go. He will flee from you. He will flee. He will go. Resist him. But that does not mean when he flees from you, he will not come back. He will surely, he will definitely come back. He will come back. But resist. Why must we resist the devil? Because he wants to devour us. Want to destroy us, want to ruin us, want to kill us, want to ruin everything about us, every area and any area of our lives in which we are ignorant, he takes advantage. Every area of our life where we allow him in, he takes advantage. Know thy enemy. Let's clap hands for Jesus today.